Okay, 3, 2.
3, 2, hit it!
It's time to double down with Max and Stacy on Sputnik Radio. Now coming up on the show, we talk to Mish Shedlock of MishTalk.com. But first, in Ernest Hemingway's novel, The Sun Also Rises, Bill asks Mike, how did you go bankrupt? Mike's response, two ways, gradually, then suddenly. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, that sounds a whole lot like the latest GDP Now forecast. Stacy.
Yes, GDP Now forecast comes out of the Atlanta Fed. That's part of the Federal Reserve Bank of America, estimating all of the GDP of the country. Is it rising? Is it falling? What's going on? Right now, their latest data shows that the United States is only growing at 0.6%. This doesn't sound very good, does it? Now, of course, when Mike went bankrupt, he said he went bankrupt because of all his friends. He had too many friends. Does America have too many friends, i.e. foreign entanglements, all sorts of wars? Is that why they're going bankrupt? The headline we're talking about is Atlanta Fed GDP Now forecast spirals towards zero.
No, they're going bankrupt because they don't have enough growth. And why don't they have enough growth? Because they keep bailing out the bad bankers who are keep hoarding all the debt, and they keep accumulating more debt, and there's more debt service, and therefore no money available for entrepreneurs to start businesses, hire new folks, and get all that growth going. And with that growth would come some capacity to pay down debt, but of course that's not forthcoming. So the debt keeps growing, the bankers keep getting appeased by bailing them out repeatedly, and the growth continues to fall. And at this level, this 0.6% level, I mean, that is that's stall speed. That's where, you know, you're just going to start to see the wings fall off of this thing. Or as United Airlines might say, what was the phrase they used? Disinvited their customer, then they threw them off the plane. I mean, it looks bad.
Yeah, they forced them to volunteer. They weren't willing to be forced to volunteer. Now, the GDP Now forecast uses quite a number of data points across the United States in order to determine what GDP is, from the employment reports to the ISM non-manufacturing report, which is the service sector report, the inventories, auto sales, things like that. And they come out with this GDP Now forecast like every few days or every week. And as the quarter progresses, it gets more and more accurate. And so now, as we head into the second quarter, it's like Apocalypse Now and GDP Now. And so because that accuracy is not only better, but it's actually worse, because the trajectory of these revisions are looking worse and worse for the U.S. economy. With every single new revision, we get closer and closer to zero.
This is a revision down from 2.5% just in April, you know, April 4th.
Actually, it was 2.5% 2 months ago, and now it is 0.6%.
Yeah, that's a 75% crash.
That is. So let's turn to our guest, Mish Shedlock, who has been following this. He reports on the GDP Now forecast all the time on his website, MishTalk.com. Mish, how fast are we shrinking?
Oh, pretty fast. It was actually 3.4% February 2nd. So we've gone from 3.4 to 0.6. Meanwhile, these GDP estimates are all over the map. The New York Fed is still insisting upon 2.8. I don't know if insist is the right word, but that's their prediction. The ISM says 4.3%. The market, they put out a PSI report, PMI report, and they think 1.7%. I asked, just for grins, Zero Hedge what he thought. He picked 1.3%. So there's your range, 0.6 to 4.3, and I'm kind of proud of my prediction, actually, but we'll see on April 23rd to April 28th. But ahead of the GDP Now, I looked at the auto numbers. I said, this is really bad news. And I estimated 0.6% about, 4 days before GDP Now.
Now, let's look at the employment numbers. How important are these to the GDP Now forecast? I know there are several different regional feds with their own sort of forecasts, how they come up with the GDP. How important is employment? This has been a big issue across all the blogs, across all the financial media, about what is the employment situation actually across the United States. There's the employment number and there's the unemployment number. Where does that stand?
I didn't factor that into my model. The Atlanta Fed took off, I believe, 0.2%. So a week ago, they were at 1.2. They took 0.4 off, I believe, for autos, and then they took another 0.2 off for jobs. The New York Fed does something a little bit different. They look at, that's the nowcast I'm talking about, they look at the unemployment rate. Well, the problem with looking at the unemployment rate, it can be going down because the labor force is dropping. So their model is really skewed when it comes to these employment indicators, because to me it matters whether unemployment is dropping because people are dropping out of the labor force, or the unemployment rate is dropping actually because people are finding jobs. Interestingly, that was the case this last report, but to me jobs is such lagging data that I ignore it.
Yeah, but more important, I do want to talk about the jobs in terms of where right now in New York City, it is boom town. There is construction everywhere. People are spending, people are happy, people are booming, happy, optimistic. If you go outside of New York City, Washington, D.C., San Francisco, you see a not so great situation. You see the retail sector falling apart. You see retail bankruptcies surpassing even the 2008 low, 2009 low. So what is the economic situation on the ground?
Well, on the ground in Chicago, it's not very good. Our Illinois tax collection for the entire state has been running behind estimates for almost a year. I think there's something like, I reported on this, I don't have the number in front of me, I'm going to say they're 7% under projections, and we're talking about sales taxes, we're talking about income taxes. Of course, people are fleeing. Who can blame them? I've got my own plans to get the hell out of here eventually. But I've not had a chance to go through the other states. It would be interesting, Stacy, to see what Texas is doing, what California is doing, you know, not just Illinois. I suspect that because of weak retail spending, the sales tax collection is under estimates across the board. That's my guess.
Well, this downward trend has been in place for a while, and this is supposed to be the justification for all this accommodation by the Federal Reserve Bank, and that they're not getting the results. So at what point do they admit that their policies aren't working, or are they just going to keep doubling down, print more money, and do more of the same, Mish?
I think you know the answer to that one, Max. They're still talking about three hikes this year. They must be believing the ISM number. Here's what it is. They're believing the soft data, and Yellen talked about that. John Hussman did an interesting report, actually just this last weekend. He looked at soft data, and he said, this late in the cycle, and he posted some charts, this late in the cycle, soft data is all over the place. And why at economic tops, we have these rounding procedures. You know, everyone is hanging on. Everyone is bullish. The sentiment is going nuts, whether the stock market is going anywhere or not. And that's actually what we're really measuring here. You know, sentiment is one of these soft measures. And Yellen was actually puzzled. She mentioned at a conference somewhere in the last month or so, she didn't understand why consumers weren't spending because consumer sentiment was up. And this is another one. Several of us have posted charts now comparing sentiment to the stock market. And guess what? It's a perfect correlation. You know, and guess what? The average Joe on the street doesn't own any stocks. And, you know, does the upper 10% need any more stuff, things? I don't know. There's your retail spending in a nutshell, and they still haven't figured this out, Max.
Well, we started with a quote from Ernest Hemingway's novel, The Sun Also Rises. And in that, the character Mike went bankrupt by basically being too generous with his friends. How much is it the role of our European friends in this whole situation of low GDP across the world? How much is it like keeping these 0% interest rates in order to bail out the European banks at this point? Because the U.S. banks are quite healthy in comparison to those. And we'll get to the wars in a bit. But first, what about this notion of helping our friends, the European banks?
Well, actually, central bankers in general have been, well, creating bubbles is the best description for what they've done. Now, Mario Draghi defends his policy. but the Bundesbank, that's the German central bank, you know, they're fighting the ECB on this stuff. Got a lot of infighting. But actually, if you just look at what's happening actually with voters, the election of Trump, Brexit, you look at the latest polls in France, Marine Le Pen is in the lead. You look at Italy. The guy on the street clearly has not benefited from these central bank policies, and they're not going to. And these central bankers defend what they're doing, but they are the source of rising income inequality. They're supporting the stock market. The CEOs are making out like bandits. They've kept interest rates amazing, well, zero for so long. Anyone on fixed income is getting screwed. And the Fed says, oh, we've got your back. They've got the backs of the asset holders. The average guy's getting killed here. And they can't figure out, you know, what's wrong. Why people aren't spending. Well, they're freaking broke. The Fed's inflation policy, talk about inflation at 2%, what a joke. Most people are getting crucified on Obamacare alone. So 2% inflation, really.
Okay, you mentioned central banks, and many central bankers, I think Ben Bernanke amongst them, believed that the way we got out of the Great Depression of the 1930s and 40s was World War. We seem to be opening multiple fronts on a possible World War III, as many people are saying, calling it an upcoming World War III. Do you think this is part of the economic malaise story, or is this something completely different, all of these hostilities emerging suddenly out of nowhere?
Well, that's certainly part of it. If you look at how many trillions of dollars we wasted in Iraq, how many trillions of dollars we wasted in Afghanistan, the crisis in Syria has done untold damage from the influx of refugees into Europe. You know, who's benefiting from this? Well, the warmongers are benefiting from this. I don't think the Fed is doing this on purpose, but certainly the warmongers are. People like Senator McCain, Hillary, and if you ask me, Hillary and Clinton and Senator John McCain are two peas of the war pod. They might differ on some social issues, but my gosh, their policies have been a disaster, and we keep funneling this. President Trump wants more spending for the military. It's got to come from somewhere. Republicans don't want to raise taxes for it. So we spend, and the central bank monetizes the debt, and the warmongers and the stock market and all the defense industry stocks and all the people that hold them are happy. They're blowing the heck out of the world. There's nothing productive about it. They claim it adds to GDP.
All right, so here's the big question, Mish. Interest rates, they're being talked about as another couple rises in 2017. With this type of GDP data and with what you're saying, is this another head fake?
I think so, Max. Well, my prediction was 0.6%. I was out there before the Atlanta Fed GDP now. And if we see that print, we're not going to be talking about Fed hiking anymore. But they are still talking about it right now. They're still expecting two more hikes. They think, as they always do, that there's this big second half recovery coming. How many years in a row have we been expecting a second half recovery? Well, we've gone from these really low GDP estimates in fourth and first quarter to rebounds, only to repeat the cycle again and again and again. One of these times, things aren't going to go back up. I always think this is the time. I've been wrong on this a number of years in a row, but you know, we've muddled through right at the stall speed, which I think is about 2%, and we're just flirting with that line, and here we go, Max. I don't think they're going to get in these hikes. What happens if they don't? I think the dollar falls. I think gold rises.
Yeah, so is the second half. Never shows up, though, does it? Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Double Doom with me, Max Kaiser, and Stacey Herbert on Sputnik Radio. Thanks to our guest, Mish Shedlock. He's over at mishtalk.com if you want to find out more about what he's up to. Until next week, bye, y'all.